Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Live the Hustle. I'm your host, Bobby Wiley, and I want to know, are you truly happy? Do you aspire to be a better person? Do you want to change your life? What about the lives of others around you? Are you ready to create the change that you want? I created this podcast to help motivate and inspire you to make that lasting change in your life. Because nobody's going to do it for you. It is my hope to help you to get up, get dressed, and get hustling. Hey everyone, welcome to the latest installment of the podcast, Live the Hustle. Today I'm interviewing my good buddy, old-time pal, from the old days, soul lyricist. We're going to start off the podcast with one of his songs, and at the very end, we're going to end with another song. The first one, though, is entitled Ignite the Cipher. Enjoy.
The top to the bottom and the bottom to the top. I'm a rock steady heavy cause I'm ready for the funk. And the rocket don't stop like Herbie Hancock. So let the band rock from the club to the block. And I'll be the best when the test can't grab. Punch a hole through your chest, you can breathe through a bag. I need hip hop with chords and stats. Fly combos with a left right jab. Too hot to handle, too cold to hold. It's the incognito super tight flow. You better go back to another place in time. Because these rhymes will penetrate your mind. Can't define the way I design. It changes your face, fresh lemon and lime. Graph paint hits the back of your brain. And I take catnaps behind the last train.
The bass, the snare, put your hands in the air. People keep coming in from everywhere. All around, just to meet downtown. Ignite the cipher, let it touch ground. The bass, the snare, put your hands in the air. People keep coming in from everywhere. All around, just to meet downtown. Ignite the cipher, let it touch ground.
I rock for real with the build of an ox. I got the skills of a samurai with lumberjack chops. And a number of black ops, tactics, and mantras. Killer be killed, sayonara piranhas. Welcome to the land of Tony Montana. You can wear a do-rag or a bloody bandana. Dancing to the Copacabana, I'm mugging for mana. On a metaphoric sense, that's proof of the channel. It might be a gamble to see the light of a candle. But I'd rather take a chance instead of living at a standstill. The land will become a living landfill. A living organism like compositions from Handel. Cooking in the kitchen, imagining creations. Music is communicating relations. Yeah.
The bass, the snare, put your hands in the air. People keep coming in from everywhere. All around, just to meet downtown. Ignite the cipher, let it touch ground. The bass, the snare, put your hands in the air. People keep coming in from everywhere. All around, just to meet downtown. Ignite the cipher, let it touch ground.
I'm spitting sideways for 9 days. I create my own lane on the highways. After work, you get fried on a Friday. When I'm done with it, tongue twisted, that's a Friday. Cause every breath I take, I give a handshake to the man upstairs. You can meet him at the bank of the river or the ocean at large. I'm Quicksilver on the microphone in the marsh. Learning lessons from Sasquatch in the swamp. Stay on top of the wise caddy bomb. The incognito float on the jaunt. Flying overseas, don't let me up the gaunt. Dragging Leviathan, I defy the man. The lies in your face, hypocrite rhymes are bland. Be thankful that my patience is fast. Cause we all know who's gonna get the last laugh.
The bass, the snare, put your hands in the air. People keep coming in from everywhere. All around, just to meet downtown. Ignite the cipher, to let it touch ground. The bass, the snare, put your hands in the air. People keep coming in from everywhere. All around, just to meet downtown. Ignite the cipher, to let it touch ground.
Here with Soul Lyricist. How you doing, brother?
Yo, I'm doing wonderful, man. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Nice, no problem. It is my pleasure. And full disclosure, we have known each other for 6 to 7 years. We used to work with the same company together back in Florida. And whenever you have musicians together working in the same place, even though we might have different musical tastes, we are always friendly with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you come to see some of our shows and our practice events, and we've done some jams with you, and it was always a pleasure. And I distinctly remember that time at my buddy's house, Kendall, who was our drummer. He had an electric kit, and I jumped on the kit, and I gave you a subject of Cereals, and you did a free rap of Cereals for like 5 straight minutes with me drumming in the background, and it was amazing.
That was dope,
You remember that?
Yeah, freestyle. I also remember... I also remember that party that we had at, I think it was your house, and you showed me this extravagant adventure of your garden.
Oh, yeah.
To this day, it was the most illustrious garden I've ever seen in my life, bro.
Picked a tomato right out the plant, and it didn't even move 1 foot before it was in your mouth. It was delicious, wasn't it?
It was very delicious.
There's something about fresh food that is just good for the mind and the soul. And the body, of course, because what's in it as a grower. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're not putting crazy pesticides and these crazy fertilizers that are going to make things bad. You know where it came from. You know everything about it. It's really nice.
That's awesome.
So a little bit about you. Tell us how you started getting involved with music, what type of music you're really into, and a little bit of your musical journey from your childhood to where you are today.
Okay, so... I got started in music at a very, very young age. My mom's side of the family, like everybody on my mom's side of the family, is like deeply rooted in music and education, as well as music education. So my mom's mother, my grandmother, whom I never got to meet, but from stories that I heard, she was like this virtuoso pianist and could play any song. Like I remember hearing stories of them like crowding around the piano, like my mom and her two sisters, and they're like singing songs. And then my aunt would be like, "It's too high. I can't sing that high." And then she would just like transpose it down like a key and a half, like instantly.
Oh yeah.
You know, like the same song, which if you know, you're any familiar with music, like that's not easy to do is.
Yeah. On the fly.
Yeah. On the fly. Just transpose. Bam. So I started music lessons. My mom was actually my first choir director. She was the children's choir director at the church that we went to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got involved in the children's choir as young as like 3.
And where was this?
This was at East Hill Baptist Church in Tallahassee, Florida.
Nice.
And then when I was 4, I began piano lessons at the School of Music in Tallahassee. And it just so happened my mom was the children's piano teacher at the School of Music, too. So she was like legit my first music teacher with mm-hmm. formal lessons. And from then... I mean, I've always been involved in the chorus at school and, you know, in the choir at church. Started band in 5th grade, picked up the guitar between like the summer of like 5th grade and 6th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And once I picked up the guitar, that really kind of put a spark as far as like, you know, learning, furthering education and other music instruments and more contemporary styles of music.
Yeah.
And so picked up the drums, the bass, guitar in high school. And when I went to college, I also went to the University of Central Florida and studied music there, studied voice with their music program.
Nice.
As far as music that I like right now, it's a blend a lot of different things, mainly because as a kid, like my father, so I talked about how the music education part kind of came from my mom's side of the family.
From your mom's side, yeah.
Yeah. Well, my love and appreciation for music came from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
He has always had put a really high value into his home stereo equipment. So I learned about stereo equipment, how to hook it up, receivers. This is your phonograph, your tape deck, CD player, blah, blah, blah. This is how you hook it up.
Real life audio file.
Yeah. I mean, and he's had like this huge, record collection, collected CDs. Like when we finally got a computer or whatever, he was like all over Napster, downloading music left and right. He was like, hey, listen to this song. Hey, listen to this song.
And did he have a very, very, very varied repertoire to listen to all kinds of music too?
Yeah. I mean, I learned from my dad. I learned about James Brown. I learned about Michael Jackson. I learned about the Allman Brothers, Hank Williams Sr., Merle Haggard. A very, very broad spectrum of different kinds of music. Even blues, B.B. King, Buddy Guy, Kenny Wayne Shepherd Band. And so he was always open to new music, Like I remember when I was a little bit older, my dad turned, he downloaded one of the new Black Eyed Peas album at the time. Was like, yo, you got to get this. So yeah, so my love for music and appreciation of different kinds of music, a more cultural level came from my dad. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm a lot of my stuff is deeply rooted in jam music and funk and soul. I mean, he taught me about Stax Records, even Isaac Hayes, everything, man. Which I'm really grateful for.
Yeah.
But so now it's mostly hip hop, funk, jazz, soul music.
Nice. And you're doing some recording stuff now, right?
Yes. Yes. Been doing some recording. I just released two albums last month. One is the Soul Jams EP, and the other one is a beat tape titled Instrumental Compass.
Nice. The road leading to that moment where you're getting ready and getting releasing those, some of the struggles and tribulations of becoming a producer and a musician, it doesn't come easy for everybody, I know. And I know you've been trying to do this for quite a while. Tell us a little bit about your journey when you decided you wanted to start putting out music for the world and that's how you wanted to go.
I would say that I started this journey in high school. My first ever recordings of written raps and, even collaborating on some beats and stuff like that was definitely in high school. I had this one buddy, literally one friend who also did music in my school. And we liked the same kind of music. And he was more on the DJ side. He'd gotten some DJ equipment, some turntables and a mixer. And I mean, we actually DJed one of the high school dances and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's when I started. Now, when I first started performing, I was playing more acoustic sets. Mm-hmm. So acoustic guitar with, singing, rapping, and beatboxing.
Yeah.
I remember my first show. It was at Black Dog Cafe at Lake Ella in Tallahassee, Florida, the beautiful Lake Ella.
Oh, yeah. Black Dog's my favorite coffee shop.
Yeah, word up. For sure. But yeah, that was my first show, man. I just went up to them and was like, hey, how do I play out here? And they let me play on the porch. And I was like, holy moly. I didn't have any CDs, recordings, nothing.
And did you have equipment or was it just you and an acoustic guitar?
I didn't have any equipment. It was just me, acoustic guitar. I walked around, walked in between the tables, singing to people and stuff. It was really organic.
Yeah. That's fun stuff, though. That's like the most pure music, in my opinion. Just when it happens in front of you and you don't need devices and stuff. That's fun.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where
I'm always
started
constantly
my journey.
Drumming. Yeah, I'm always constantly drumming my fingers. You know, making noise and beating, just because I've always got to have something musical going on. People are always asking me at work, why are you so fidgety? I'm not fidgety. If you pay attention, it's an actual beat.
Right.
And you can actually play along with me. And before you know it, you got four or five people just all jamming.
Yeah.
To a tabletop.
To a tabletop.
It is fun, yeah. It's fun stuff.
And if somebody's got a beer glass, you pick up a pen, and now you got a ride cymbal.
Yeah, yeah. How did you... Okay, so that was your first gig. You just kind of went in, and they were just like ad-libbing. Yeah, go ahead, whatever. Just set up outside on the porch and get going.
Yeah.
How did you decide that... How to pursue from there? Like, did you just do little acoustic sets for like years and struggle to get through, or did you just already have a great idea and some good connections and get moving on what you wanted to progress and put out?
That's a good question. In the beginning, I just struggled through. You know, it was a different age and time. There wasn't social media. Mm-hmm. Like Facebook hadn't even started yet. So it was just basically just trying to find concerts. And so I would do shows at different places. I would do open mics. I would play at house parties. Just anywhere where I could perform. And the wild thing is that I didn't have any recordings for the longest of times. Like, mm-hmm. people just came out to my live shows, and people would sing along because they'd been to my live shows.
Yeah, so it was just word of mouth. And
yeah, just word of mouth. You know, all my sets are different. I never do the same set list twice. Mm-hmm. Like, I always make my set list different for each show.
And you could change it on the fly at that point, too, if the crowd's reacting a certain way. You know,
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Might know what song's going to kill the next time. So, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I didn't have any recordings for a long time. I'd done some stuff with people in their studios. You know, but my main thing in the beginning was definitely, like, all live performances. So I was always about the performance and the live show more so than the recording aspect. I would say that recording music and mixing it and doing all this stuff was probably the last of the skill sets that I developed, just, you know, musically.
Yeah.
But it's cool like that because when I approached recording, I have that musical background. You know, so I can play my parts like all the way through the song if I want to. I don't have to go in and loop everything if I don't want to. Mm-hmm. But with technology, you can do that. So that's really cool.
There's a sense of like looping in technology. It sort of takes away the human element. It's too robotic. I like it. It has a good place. But sometimes like a live performance, you like that little that escalation of faster beat, slower beat. It's not always 100% rock solid. And that's just the human emotion coming out in the performance, in my opinion.
I totally agree. So now, through my journey, like it was definitely, you know, I was just working the circuit at first, but open mics have a huge power for when you're first starting. Mm-hmm. You know, one, you get a bunch of practices under your belt in front of people. And when you show up every week, then you get to practice those songs a little bit better and get them better. Also, when it comes to introducing new material, like that's a whole thing in itself. When you start introducing new material, even to this day, introducing new material to your set list, mm-hmm. you know, you always have to have that first performance where you've never performed a song before, it might not go that great. You yeah. might kill it.
I know when we were in the band and we were getting ready to play a new song for us, we made it a point not to say, and this is a new one, because the people would pay extra careful attention to it. And if you, so you don't want to botch it up for sure. Yeah, it was like, it's like a demise. And this is a new song. And then everyone like pays a little extra attention because it's something that stands out.
Right.
And if one person goofs it up, it's over.
It's over.
Yeah. So that's a great way to view open mics. A lot of people see it as like the hustle, the grind of going through it. Did you find it that yourself, or were you just really comfortable with it and just used it as part of the process?
As far as open mics?
Yeah, like were you disappointed that you were constantly doing open mics? Were you like really struggling trying to bang into your head how you can get paid for performances? Or were you viewing that as like paying the dues and the grind? And or did you just absolutely love it and it was, you were there for the ride and that was part of it?
You know what? It was a blend of some of that answer right there. It was definitely like paying dues, part of the grind. Also, mm-hmm. I had a great time at the open mic that I was at. Like, it helped me grow as a person. And like, open mic really kind of changed my life from where it was when I, and I started open mics early. So it wasn't like I was getting a bunch of shows and then going back to an open mic. It was like I started mm-hmm. at open mic and then even got shows from going to open mic and the relationships that I built with the other artists there.
Yeah.
And in Tallahassee, Florida has incredible musicians just all over the board. You know, there's a school of music at Florida State University. You've got a music program at Florida A&M University.
A very impressive drum line.
Super, the best in the country. The
FAMU band is like world famous. They play Super Bowls and stuff.
Yeah, the drum line is off the chain.
It's killer, yeah. From my house, you can sit outside, and on certain evenings, if the weather was right, you can hear the band practice.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great.
But yeah, so I mean, I really appreciated open mic. At the time, as I was going into college from high school, I decided that I wanted to go to the college group at the church that I was going to at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I went to this, you know, Wednesday night college group or whatever. And I remember just feeling the vibe of like, this place isn't for me. Like I don't fit in here with these people, you know? And so then somebody, I don't even know exactly how I came across open mic, but somebody told me about it and I went. And from the very, very first, the first night of open mic, like conversations, there's a back porch where people would sit, you know, and people were more genuine to me, you know, in my opinion, at the time at the open mic. That very night, I made the decision. I said, you know what? This open mic is going to be my new church group. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to go to this church group where I feel like there's a lot of fake people up in here and they're not accepting of other people.
Yeah.
That look different than them or think different than them. So I made a vow pretty much. I was like, you know what? Instead of going to this church group, I'm going to book it over here to this open mic. And I did. And like, I mean, shout out to Doc Russell, still doing the open mics. I mean, this brother's been doing open mic forever, like hosting it for the love of it and everything. So yeah, I mean, that particular open mic changed my life for sure.
Mm-hmm. And you found your new church, as it were.
Yeah, I found my new church. I found that
emotional center. Yeah.
Yeah. Just people are more real. Like you could have a conversation and, you know, it's a bar, pool hall, you know, on one side, and then on, it has this little corridor, and then this other room is dedicated. It's got a stage and tables and chairs. It's dedicated for the venue itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then around the building, it's this big warehouse. It's actually called the warehouse. And there's this big porch outside. So there's like these different spaces, you know, at this one spot. And so you get all these different kinds of people there and just doing life together, sharing, you know, life situations. Hey, I'm going through this. Or, hey, what do you think about this subject? Like, man, I don't really agree with you, but this is where I'm coming from. I see what you're saying. You know what I mean? So it was a safe zone.
Yeah, they were willing to engage in conversation without prejudgment.
Right, right. So just pure relationship building, in my opinion, you know, to me, that's like the real definition of fellowship. You know, just being genuine, open-hearted with people.
Mm-hmm. And how long did this particular state, was this going in place before you ended up moving out? Because I know you moved on.
Yes, yes. So I did open mics for a long, long time. And then I was getting more shows. And, you know, with a different job and everything, I couldn't make it to the open mics as often. You know, some other life things happen. I mean, I got married at one point in time, also got divorced. During that time, I wasn't really, like, I played some shows, but I wasn't really, like, pursuing it that hard.
Yeah.
Just because I had some other responsibilities, had to work a lot, you know, take care of my family, all this good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after that where I kind of got back into the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after I got divorced, I found the hip hop community in Tallahassee.
Yeah. And how long was that process where it sort of took a back burner, but it wasn't in the forefront at least?
I mean, that was probably a good like 2-3 years. You know, I mean, I was still working on my craft. I was still making beats, you know, recording. But I just wasn't, you know, pursuing shows as much and just going as hard as I was.
Yeah.
But
you were trying to make other things in your life work and dedicate attention to those. And then when that started going down, and you finally got your divorce, you kind of dove back into the comfort of music again, right?
That's exactly what happened, man. I needed it. Like, you know, any person that's ever gone through a divorce, you know, whether you wanted it to happen or not, like it's a difficult process to go through.
Yeah.
And so music for me was my safe zone. And so, you know, I immediately came across some people who, you know, were in the hip hop community, and I got involved ASAP, and that helped me out a ton. You know, shout out
ran with open arms.
Yeah, yo, shout out to Cypher Club at Florida State University, the hip hop club. You know, at the time, Backpack Beats, who's still a good friend of mine today. A lot of the people that I met during that time, I'm still great friends with.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, shout out Backpack Beats for giving me the info. Let me slide through.
There you go. Got to pay the respects when you think about them.
For sure, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You're good. Go ahead.
Nah, I'm good.
Okay. how long after that, finding the Tallahassee hip hop community, was it before you moved out of state?
I want to say 4 or 5 years.
Okay. So you had a good settling in with that.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Did you find when you moved to be a very difficult time to find a new music community, or did you already have that set up before you left?
I actually kind of had that set up before I left.
That's good. Yeah. I was worried about that because I know when I moved from Tallahassee to here, I've yet to find that musical community, and it's driving me crazy sometimes.
Okay, so what city is that?
Springfield, Illinois.
Okay, cool. But yeah, I actually did research. So what was pretty wild is that from the time that I got the idea of moving from Tallahassee out to Portland, Oregon, I was gone within a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was planning stuff every single day. I was doing small things every single day to make that leave date come closer. And so I just typed in, like, I think I just Googled, like, Portland hip hop artists. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this one dude came up, Serge Sevier. I listened to his music. Super dope MC. I was like, this is the pocket of music that I need to be in. Like, this dude's stuff, it resonates with me and, yeah, you know, similar style. So I hit him up randomly, like on Facebook, I think it was. And he hit me back and we were talking. And so I was asking him about the Portland scene. I was asking him if there was any ciphers that go on, you know, anything like that. And he referred me. He said, yo, you need to go to Wicked Wednesdays in Portland, Oregon, every Wednesday. Shout out to, and he said, you need to connect with DJ Wicked. That's why it's called Wicked Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
So the very first day that I arrived in Portland, I drove all the way across the country. So when I entered Portland, it was on a Wednesday. And I went out to this hip hop spot to where Wicked Wednesdays was. I was like, let me figure out where this thing is. And immediately introduced myself to DJ Wicked. Still a good friend of mine today.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what that kicked it off for me in Portland. Like I was, mm-hmm, like I immediately was engulfed in the hip hop culture and the hip hop community, the music community from the first day that I landed. I didn't even have a place to stay yet.
Priorities, you know?
Hey, straight up though. So, I mean, Wicked Wednesdays was awesome. That's known as the hip hop sanctuary in Portland. Like, it's literally the longest running weekly hip hop event in Portland, period.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're in Portland and it's a Wednesday, you need to go holla.
That's where it is, huh?
Yep.
Where was it again?
It's called Wicked Wednesdays.
Yeah, I know what it's called, but where's the event?
I'm not sure. They be changing it sometimes.
Oh, so just look it up and you'll find it.
You'll find it.
Yeah. Nice. And how long were you in Portland with that community?
For 2 years.
Okay. And how did your music progress once you were there?
It progressed a lot, actually. I was getting shows. Like, first I was going to the Wicked Wednesdays, getting my face known. And what Wicked Wednesdays is, by the way, it's all freestyle rap. So it's at a bar. DJ Wicked is all vinyl, throwing on instrumentals, and the microphone is on, and all the MCs are spitting freestyles only.
Nice.
Yeah. So
that's got to be great for confidence and trying new material, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have a real deep passion for freestyle rap. I mean, obviously, you got to experience a little bit of that.
Yeah, I totally thought I was going to throw you with doing a rap on Cereals, but you totally nailed it.
So I have a deep, you know, and high regard for freestyle rap, you know, genuine freestyle rap. And so right out the gate, it was like, yo, this is freestyle off the top at the bar. Like, dang, son, like the mic is connected to the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
So I started building relationships there and learned about like where some other shows was going. So I went to these hip hop shows And then I got asked to do, I think my first show in Portland was for Hungry Hungry Hip Hop. Mm-hmm. You know, shout out Dusty Fox, Rufus Small Towns, Research and Development. Yeah. So they put me on, and I also was involved in some freestyle battle raps. Mm-hmm. Like these were not pre-written battle bars like you would hear on, you know, KDOT or Grind Time or Rap Grid or anything like that. So it was straight up like old school freestyle battling.
So you just have no knowledge about your opponent and you just go straight in and tear him up?
Yep, correct. So I won a few battles and I lost a few battles.
Okay, here's what's the strategy on that? Do you go after physical appearance, the way they're dressing, the way their hair is? How do you battle rap somebody? How do you come up with a game plan of what you're going to do in the middle of a battle rap?
The easiest thing right out the gate is physical appearance. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's anything out of line physical appearance wise or anything that you can make a punchline out of, that's probably an easiest go-to. Now, also a really good strategy is the rebuttal. So after they rap and say their verse, you pick something that they said and, you know, do some rebuttal bars.
Turn it around.
Yeah. Those are the two easiest strategies right out the gate.
Yeah. Learn that on 8 Mile. He wins by the rebuttal, right? Because he...
Yeah, the rebuttal.
The pre-rebuttal. He, like, rebuttals the guy before the guy even gets up. So the guy has nothing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That was my experience with battle rapping, was that. And then sometimes when we'd have our band practice in the garage, we'd have some guys over, and then everyone would want a battle rap. We'd pop on the drums and just play a beat.
Right.
And then there'd be a battle rap going on, or maybe not even necessarily a battle rap, but dudes just trying to out-rap each other all the time.
Right.
Not necessarily digging on each other, but just trying to freestyle as long as they could possibly freestyle.
Right.
Before they trip up, you know?
For sure.
Okay, so you're out in Portland. You get this new musical community. You're grinding it for 2 more years, and you're perfecting your craft. What's next? What's the next thing? How did you advance from there?
Okay, so while I was in Portland, like one of the highlights I would say was I was asked to beatbox for the city of Eugene, which is actually pretty cool. These B-boys group got asked to put on this showcase for, like, you know, the city would have like a summer series. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they would have all different types of things. They would have dancers and, you know, other arts. This one was hip hop. So they asked DJ Wicked about a beatboxer because they wanted to cover all the five elements. Mm-hmm. Well,
like rap, like rock, country, rap.
DJing, rapping, graffiti art, break dancing. Did I say that already?
No.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So b-boying, graffiti, DJing, MCing or rapping, and then the fifth element will be beatboxing.
Gotcha. So not genres of music, actually.
The culture of hip-hop.
Culture of hip-hop, yeah, got it.
Yeah. And DJ Wicked knew that I beatboxed, and he name-dropped me to these guys. Mm-hmm. And they paid me to go out to Eugene and literally beatbox for 5 minutes. It was the most amount I've ever gotten paid for a show. Like,
what a gig.
For 5 minutes.
5 minute gig. Beatbox.
It was dope. It was like a 3 hour drive away, but it was dope, man. It was dope.
Yeah.
So
fun. And you know you felt good.
Oh yeah. I felt great. I mean, it was awesome, dude. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was just an honor to be like somebody name dropped me as a beatboxer. Mm-hmm. To go hold down the beatboxing element of the culture of hip hop, mm-hmm. for this event. You know, I mean, I got involved in a lot of different things. I even got involved in teaching hip hop in schools in Portland. and was working with this company Up and Over. And we were going into high schools and giving talks and doing some performances, you know, kind of like a mentorship type of thing.
Yeah.
Then I was getting ready to release my album in 2016, my first like official release. Mm-hmm. It's called Verbatim Volume 1, and it's an instrumental album. And that was in August of 2016. And it was shortly after that where I kind of discovered that, you know, the relationship I was in was a very bad one. Mm-hmm. It's very controlling, manipulative, all that crazy stuff. And so I wanted to get out of that relationship. And life got bad. And one of my homies from back home, Tallahassee, who lives in Utah, and he moved out to Utah like 15 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, man, if it gets too bad, you can come down here, post up for a few months, figure life out. And so I was like, all right, man, bet. So that's what I did. Packed up my Jeep and I drove to Utah, drove to his house. I don't know anything about Utah. I don't know anything about Utah.
They got some great parks.
Yeah, they do actually.
Yeah, they have some real good ones.
Utah's it's a really pretty place, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I moved out here 2 years ago.
It sounds like this move was less orchestrated by you. So did you have trouble finding a community of musicians when you moved there?
Yeah, so this decision to move was like on the fly. I got to get out of here. My health and my mental space, right? And my health, literally, physically, is more important than the place that I'm at, because I loved living in Portland.
Yeah.
So I moved here, and I moved, you know, to like a little small town, like 30 minutes north of Salt Lake City. There's like a negative 5% music community. So at first, nothing. There was nothing. There was a couple of hip hop shows, you know, in Ogden, but there wasn't like a real huge like music community like I was used to.
Yeah.
And so that was really different moving here. So for the first year, nothing. I did a couple of shows, but that's just because I knew the promoter at this one particular venue, mm-hmm. right? So I moved to Salt Lake City, decided to move to Salt Lake City last January, so a year ago. That's where my journey started in Utah, was when I moved to Salt Lake City. And immediately that first month, I found this cipher and went to it, and it was dope. There was a bunch of people there. Super great vibe. Awesome, awesome spot. It's a place called Up Rock Shop. And so they have, you know, they'll have ciphers every now and then. Well, at the time, I thought that this was going on often, and it was just really underground where you had to know people to find it. However, this was the first cipher that Salt Lake City had seen in two or more years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You just happened to run into it.
Yeah. Just happened to be that as soon as I moved here, they threw it.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like fate, right?
Hey, I don't know what else to call it, man.
Yeah.
You know?
What it sounds like.
I mean, So I met a lot of people that day, went back to ciphers, you know, started entrenching myself in the culture here. There's a beautiful hip hop culture community here in Salt Lake City, like straight up. A lot of great artists, a lot of good people, good community stuff going on. So then I just basically got to know people, was grinding, met promoters, got on some shows, and have been able to do some of the biggest shows, you know, open up for like more known artists than I had done previously. So I got to
starting to climb the ladder.
Yeah, I started to climb the ladder, you know, learn the system out in Utah. It's a little bit different, but, you know, there's a system everywhere.
Yeah, it's a matter of finding it and figuring it out.
Yep. So I, you know, after moving to different places throughout my life, like, I, for some reason, I knew where to find, like, the community spots.
Yeah.
You know? And I've never been afraid to enter a new community or anything like that by myself. I just walk up anywhere, man. Throw down.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear. And especially when you're confident with what you do, you're not ashamed to do it.
And right.
Let people know what you're interested in, because it doesn't happen for you. You know that.
For sure. You got to go get it, man. You got to go get it. Mm-hmm. You know.
So what's the latest? What's the latest? What's been going on now? I know you mentioned earlier you did a couple of albums in the last couple months. How did that process go, and where do you see yourself going in the future with all that?
Okay, so in the summer, I took a bunch of time to do a lot of research and decided to open my own business. Acoustic Funk Nation, LLC. Mm-hmm. So that was the first, like, really, really big step for me,
mm-hmm.
right? Is going all in, deciding to go all in and be the boss of your own business and make it happen. Then in September, I was able to open up for You God of Wu-Tang Clan.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like a bucket list thing, because Wu-Tang is one of my biggest influences.
Yeah, they're on my iPad right now.
Yeah. So yeah, so then I decided to release some projects, because I hadn't released any projects, you know, since 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I left, you know, that first year that I was here, I was not on social media at all. I was trying to go ghost.
Yeah, in hiding, getting away from that situation.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I had some good momentum with that first album drop, but then, you know, everything just took a halt for life purposes. But it's all good, you know. Everything has its place.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I decided, I was like, you know what? Like, need to go ahead and release some new material. So I decided to drop the Soul Jams EP first, so the first album that I released was an instrumental album, like I said before. So this one has lyrics on it. I produced four of the beats on the album, and this one other guy produced the other two.
Mm-hmm.
Then I decided to release a beat tape, the Instrumental Compass, later that month. So that's those are the latest things, you know. I've got mm-hmm. a show coming up this month, January 24th. So just really, I've really been focusing on, like, the business aspect as of recently, and, like, going for larger opportunities as a music producer,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, going for different placement opportunities. And also, I'm just now starting getting into the music licensing industry.
Yeah. A lot of firsts and a lot of exciting times coming up ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. I'm excited. I'm really excited. Yeah. You know,
a lot
so
of
this
new
is
hats
the beginning.
To wear. Yeah. And this is where we are now, right?
This is where we are now.
The last couple of months, yeah.
Yeah, this is where we are now.
That is exciting, and I'm really excited for you. I know how much this means to you, and this is just great. I'm glad you're in a good spot now, and you found your community, and you're putting out your content, and it's just I'm excited for it. I really am.
Yeah, I'm excited too, man. I've got some really great tunes coming out this year, some collabs with some other artists that I'll be releasing a little bit later. You know, there's going to be an album drop this year. I'm not sure exactly when yet, but I know it's going to happen. So yeah, I've been doing a lot of collaborative efforts with some other artists, some local artists. You know, it's really exciting. I've been getting some recording clients here and everything. So just really kind of building the local community in a broader spectrum, you know, because people, when they're from the area that they're currently living in, sometimes it's really hard to see past like your local area, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just hard to see beyond that. And I think that it's important that people get reminded, you know, like, hey, like, your local community is very important. However, there's this other really important part, which is the global community.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's where I'm at now, is just working with artists here. Got some projects that we're working on. Not gonna shout those out as of yet.
Yeah, got to keep some things hidden up and build momentum and have something to release. How does everyone get in touch with you? What's all your social?
So it's at MC Soul Lyricist. M letters MCSOULYRICIST. MC Soul Lyricist at everything. IG, Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, YouTube. It's all / MC Soul Lyricist.
It's all ready right there.
Also, awesome. You can get a hold of me on soullyricist.com. If you need some merch, if you need some shirts, you know, if you need some beats, if you just would like to listen to some music, soullyricist.com.
Soul Lyricist in the house. Yeah. Set $2. You may on the beats. Feel me? Come on. Hey baby girl, can I take you for a ride? Take you for a spin, only good vibes. Open book rhymes for the lady by my side. Fingers wrapped round, let's glide. And drive by the ocean tide. I love how the breeze hits your hair just right. I love how we laugh in the wee hours of the night. We could dance our cares away beneath the moonlight. In the sand, here's my hand, you make my heart shine bright. Shake a little something, girl, let it all go. We can go with the flow like the water on our toes. Steady on shore or surfing on a longboard. It's all good in the city on the beach. Stop by the mom and pop shop for the eats. Ben and Jerry's for the ice cream treats. You dig? Love is in the air, see gold set the pace. Blessed by his grace at night, we see space. With the deep taste lingering, six string fingering. Kisses while listening to what you're thinking. And let's do it, let the river run through it. We can groove all night till the sun hits the roof. Only speaking truth from the heart is where it starts. This journey we've embarked has never been park. Angels play harps when you walk. Tangled by the charm and your spark. Extra palm and the guac. Holy guacamole, you're a dime piece. And prime seed, rockin' lime green. I'm glad you can find me and take me as I be.
Thank you, girl, for loving me. You got that $2 soul locked around me, baby.
You sure do.
Thank you, girl, for loving me.
Girl,
you got that $2 soul locked around me, baby.